morning, Patriots. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And it is a special day for fathers. And I hope that everyone is having that day for fathers. You know, I'm one, I can honestly say I'm very blessed because I was raised by an amazing dad and he's still in my life and we spend time together nearly every day. And that's a thing that I cherish and definitely something that's very, it's one of God's great gifts. And it's something just to reflect on for me because I know that not everybody had that opportunity. But the strength of a father when you're growing up is essential in the formation of a youth and of a child. It's something that you can count on. It's something that you can, it will guide you later in life. My dad was a sole proprietor in his life. And so for most of his life, in fact, he was a remodeling contractor. And I could just go through the many things that were taught with that. But one of the things that stands out always is that in my time in school, from elementary up to high school, I was very involved in sports, always. I was also involved in band. And it's interesting over that period of time that in spite of all the things that go on with work, my dad never missed a single event. And he would tell his clients, no matter what situation they were in, that if he had to leave, he'd be like, I'm going to see my son, period. And that was a pretty amazing, it's an amazing reality, especially in this day when work gets to be so consuming for us and families can take such a back seat. My dad is also one of these people that he never wears a religion on his sleeve, ever. And yet I can also tell you that he's never told a lie. He doesn't deviate from that place. He has unbelievably strong faith and has endured a lot in his life to get to where he is now in his senior years. And so it's also a great honor for me to be part of these years now where I know and he knows, as my mother knows, that they will never go into a home, and that I will ensure that no matter what it takes, that they are taken care of. And that's now part of my responsibility as a child of theirs. And those are those things that I've talked about, but it's a very important reflection point for us all. My dad and I have had our differences. In fact, we had a very rough period in my life where we were estranged for quite a number of years. And it was pretty ugly. But the biggest thing about love and the biggest thing about God's hand is that if we listen, we find our way back. And we did and have. My dad went from being my father to being one of my best friends, if not my best friend in many ways. And it's a sort of transition that we have to reflect on because as we grow, we have to change with time. And we have to change the way we relate to one another. And it doesn't just take one person. I've had friends who have had fathers that have been locked in their position, never, ever accepting that there is a change of people growing up, that their son was always their little son that they were to dictate to and point to and tell what to do. And that's a sad experience. The role of the father is a significant one, because as you start out being that guide, that rock, that kind of firm hand in raising a child with the love of God, there has to be a transition point to where it's two men, and then a transition point to where there is a respect for one another and an understanding of what was created now has their own place in the world. The greatest part about that walk is that as men, if we do it right, the greatest gift is us being able to step back and watch that mastery of creation evolve into being something very significant. As the first child and the oldest, I can tell you that if there's one trait that I've inherited, which he and I laugh about regularly, it's stubbornness. I can be stubborn as much as I can of anything. And it's an incredible trait, because it's a persistence, if handled right, that you never step down and you never back down. It also can cause some pretty heavy consternation and conflict when you get to key moments in your life or key age points, when the child becomes the young man and the father has to transition. And those rough points are not always the easiest places to be. The one thing that I take is a lot of wisdom from all of that, is the fact that even in spite of those rough times, those too shall pass. And that the true love between the father and the son can always be there. I've learned over my time with my dad's experience, there was a lot of wisdom there. And especially since he had been in business, even though we were in different businesses, and I've run and started a number of companies and businesses, it was always great and always has been great to rely on some of his own experience, even though the industry, the work that we did now is very different than when I was doing the same type of work he did. But there's still a great deal of wisdom that comes from age. And fathers are and should be that place of the experience. I think, in my personal opinion, what makes a good father is a father also that has taken risk and has ventured out and doesn't just obey to a corporate master, or doesn't obey to the 9-to-5 job. You have to be more, and you have to challenge yourself more. When kids are young, it doesn't always make that much difference. But as kids grow, it makes a huge difference, and it makes a huge difference in wisdom. My dad was a Navy pilot. He did submarine and typhoon reconnaissance in the era when satellites were not spread all over the world. Part of his duties were to fly into the eye of hurricanes. Hours spent being shaken around in a tin can, basically, until taking all the measurements and then getting into the eye of the hurricane and then spiraling outward up through the eye to leave the hurricane. He continued being a pilot even through my teens, flying his own plane. And you started to see a different side of somebody that otherwise you saw on a daily basis, but you saw a professionalism, a focus. A person who could stand there in the midst of even the most trying moments. And I think of one moment in particular in our flight down to San Diego, when the cowling on one of the struts on the airplane came off. It had no structural issue to the plane other than just an aerodynamic cowling. But the noise from that was unbelievable, because we were at about 12,000 feet or so, and this piece of plastic that was a aerodynamic cowling around one of the struts began to rattle, rattle, snap, and then snap right off. And I remember in the back seat of the plane, it was a Cessna 182, to observe my dad. My mom was concerned. This is when you saw that power of the father to calmly take control, to ask everybody to be quiet. As he walked through the gauges, he checked everything. Checked his maps to make sure that there was a location in case he had to do emergency land. It was a systematic moment. It was pretty tense. And there were many of those, but this one stands out in particular because it's where that calm, focused leadership of the Father just shined through. Being a father in this day and age is almost becoming a lost art for many. And it shouldn't be. It should be something that men evolve to with great pride and strive to be great. It's not about ego. And it's definitely not about trying to outdo one person or another. But it is about being pure in your relationship with God and being strong as that moral leader in the family. And it's definitely about living in the world unafraid. It's a place where one of the things my dad and I talk about regularly, in fact, where the concept of right work, of following your passions and being guided by those things to break free from the corporate yoke. I'm blessed to have had that example in my life, and I'm equally blessed to have lived that path, and it has not come without costs. Everything that I have and everything that I have rebuilt over my time, because there's been ups and downs, but hasn't come from a guaranteed salary, hasn't come from a benefit package of a 401k and investing and a variety of other things. It came because I created it. And that was how he was. And so some of the best parts of who he was, I've continued to live forward. And I say that with strength because it's something that I believe very strongly in, that men need to strive for. As we grow up into the corporate environments, especially the big corporations, the status of the title, the position in the company, power that was levered over many people often becomes the focus point of accomplishment rather than the accomplishment of what you create with your hands and the gifts and talents that you have. My dad is one of those that's an innovator. He grew up that way. He didn't grow up with TV. He had some radio, but he grew up in a small town in Montana with great values. With a grandfather who was my grandfather, who was himself in certain ways a legend in all seriousness. His dad was my grandfather was a bronc rider. He was a sparring partner for professional athletes. He was a sheep herder. And in later years was a mail route carrier and many other things. He proved that you could, he lived by values that were unwavering. And to this day in certain places is still remembered, even though he died in 1977. That stays with you as a child when your father becomes that strong in the roots and cores of who we should be and who we are. And that value of not being trapped by a corporate yoke, of being a free man to make your choices, was something that my dad instilled in me very heavily. And it was also doing what you knew you were blessed to do. He survived times in my life, in my own witness, very difficult economic times in the small town that I'm now back in. A time when in this small town, unemployment was in the upper 20%. It was a time when a lot of people had given up hope and had no hope, and he never failed. He never gave in, and he continued to push forward with his gifts and talents on the many different gifts and talents that he had. And so he built through all of that a remodeling business that later in the early 2000s, I took over and ran for until I closed it down in 2006 before I went to Afghanistan. But that remodeling business was also about a trade of doing things with your hands. It was never, and he would always say, it's not about how much money we make. It's about knowing that what you do is you do a good work and you're able to use what you do best. And you're always able to give a little something back at the end to your customer. One of his great philosophies. Those values when you're living around your dad, like that, living around a father with those examples are things that carry with you your entire life. And they're things that, for men out there that are listening, you have to strive for. I'm not in any way trying to pedestalize myself, but I will tell you that God did gift me with something amazing. And I'm hoping that some of these stories are understood, that I'm telling these stories and reflecting on these things because there is wisdom in that. There is a gift that God gave in that. And my dad was an amazing father, is an amazing father. He's still with us, and I hope he'll be with us for a long time. But you see, when you see somebody living their gifts and talents, and then even today, my dad is 84. Him, my mom walk 3 to 5 miles every day. He exercises in addition to that 2 or 3 times a week. He's active in the garden. He still builds things. He was in the shop the other day just building a drawer on a box that was used for a speaking podium that they use in one of his veterans groups. There's no reason to do these things. It's but part of my dad and the example is never to be idle, never to let yourself be idle, to always create, to always use your gifts and talents until the very end. That's something he lives. And it's part of us being blessed and humbled by what God gives us. He is one that reads. And he's lost sight to a large degree in one eye over time. And he still reads the equivalent of easily a book a week, plus the equivalent of a newspaper front to back every day. When we've had this event of the the whole nonsense of this pandemic, he took it upon himself, like I did, like I hope everyone else did, to research, not to accept the narrative. Man, did he dig. And as much as I did, and he reads even now, and he has, as others, have become an expert into what was really going on, what the real science is behind these injections, what it takes to keep your body healthy. And it goes back to the simple principles. Be fearless in life. And don't accept someone telling you what truth or reality is. One of the gifts I was given him, and one of the trades I took and learned from him, was the whole trade of remodeling, house remodeling, construction. And I took it to my own level. I ran my business in Portland, Oregon for about 6 years. I was published in Better Homes and Gardens. My work was well known, and I credit the two places I credit that are the gifts that God gave me and a father who showed me a trade and taught me a trade. And those are things that don't leave you. And when you watch somebody work that way and innovate and create, it sets an example, a precedent of never, ever giving in and always working through. And remodeling is a particularly good example in life because it is like life. When you come into a house to give an estimate on remodeling, you can see, if you're lucky, 50% of the problem. It's not like new construction. New construction, you're starting a house from dirt and building it up. But in remodeling, you're working with an existing structure. And you have to use all your senses. And you have to be detailed and observant. And you have to work through a problem based on what you see and try to anticipate as much as you can what you might not know is coming. But the big part about remodeling is once you tear that wall open, you begin to see the true depth of the problem, things that you can never have foreseen. Somebody who's built a home substandard to code, I can just tell you the stories from my own and with him. Just the ridiculous things people do to their homes that leave their foundations weak and at risk. And that's both physical and metaphorical, by the way, and intended to be so. And when you open that up, and you have to make some decisions. Because if your bid is based on a certain amount of work, which has to be clearly defined, which is the contract of truth, you then have to have that conversation, which are always the difficult ones, of telling the customer that, by the way, we bid this project to do X amount of work for, say, $75,000. But in the process, we've opened up your walls and we've discovered that there's an enormous amount of damage based on poor construction or, say, based on termites or damage to the structure we couldn't anticipate. And that bill, say, could be another $50,000. That's not something a customer likes to hear. But it's the engagement part that's so important in that, because you're talking honestly to a customer, which means we're talking honestly to one another. We're speaking in truths. And it's at that point decisions have to be made. I can provide, as he would, provide solutions, because that's part of innovating. You have to use your gifts and talents to think through these things. You have to adapt. You have to determine how you're going to move forward, not based on obedience, not based on a set of rules, but on using your power of cognitive processes to think through something, to innovate, and to deal with the constraints of things that may not be in your control. A customer may not have $50,000 to deal with this. as an example. That their whole $75,000 might be the entire budget of what they had. But the only way you're going to work through that is if you speak truth. You don't try to shortcut, and that's the one thing, never to shortcut the solution. To always do the best possible work you can, to deliver the best possible product you can, so that all people benefit. And he would and did and always came up with a solution. And those solutions, especially when you're dealing in remodeling and you're dealing with structure, don't just include the customer. They deal with city editor, city inspectors and rules that are beyond your control. But at the end of the day, what's at stake is something greater than just getting the job done. It's your relationship with a customer. The one thing I can say about my dad is, in spite of all the years, and it was many, of doing that work, there's only one or two customers that he ended up having long-term issues with, and that's just because, quite frankly, they were rotted at their heart and soul of who they were. But he tried never to leave a job without having the customer and him leave as on good terms. And he lived by that. And that means treating your neighbor as you would want to be treated, to love thy neighbor as you want to be loved. Fundamentally, the business, when you watch your dad run a business to do his work, to live his life by the rules of God, not preaching scripture, but being that moral guide for the family, it becomes something that stays with you your entire life. And we need that for our youth. Our youth need strong fathers more than ever now. Not fathers that get spun up about politics and angry and running off the cliff, because politics really don't matter much in our life. They just are the noise of the media. But fathers who can pull away from that politics and look at what the true issues are, to put the foot down on what is right and wrong. And that gives us strength as we grow up, and then as we become adults ourselves, where we're able to remember those examples to give even greater strength and moral clarity as we walk. We need role models in this time, and fathers are that role model that leads us. Proverbs 27, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. It is a time when we have seen the decline of fatherhood across many sectors of our society. And that the idea of being a strong moral and intellectual and wise lead in the family, the center of wisdom and spiritual guidance, has taken on the form too often of arrogance, dominance, and disrespect, rather than nurturing the type of a love that only God can provide, and walking with the strength in the community with God and Christ in their heart. It doesn't mean having to be the coolest guy with the guns. There is a friend of mine who is a really good audio engineer, and he lived in Portland. And we were talking one day, and he says, you know what? He goes, if things fall apart, he goes, I suck at shooting. He says, but I'm a great cook. And he says, I've stocked my kitchen and built my kitchen to be the best kitchen in the entire neighborhood. And he goes, this is what I know. When I feed them, they'll protect me as the cook. And he's so right about that. And he was a good father. We have to watch the treachery of being wrapped into things that suck us down into pride and arrogance. And instead, find the strength where we can walk in life as those moral and spiritual guides. God, I don't see anywhere in Scripture that God tells us that fathers have to quote the Bible. What God has asked is that we all listen to him and let him work through our hearts, and he'll give us the wisdom. That isn't to say you shouldn't read the Bible. Don't take that wrong. But I think that sometimes when we get into our translation of fatherhood within faith, it's like somehow someone has to proclaim that they're a believer in Christ and they have to do this publicly, and that they have to quote Scripture to prove it. That's not the case. You can be all those things and know that in your heart and walk with that confidence and never have to proclaim it publicly. You need to guide your children on those principles so that they never forget, but they see it by example, not by words. And that's the big one. And when we walk and live the word, we're truly walking as God would want us to. I've seen the negative examples. I've seen the fathers, thank goodness, not mine. I've seen the fathers that have been deacons in a church, could quote Scripture left and right, and had five affairs, and still be a deacon at the church. That's a sort of moral bankruptcy that unfortunately has corrupted much of our faiths. That's an extreme example, perhaps, but nonetheless, it's there. And the worst part about that is I happen to know that those affairs were known and the church did nothing. And then you have to ask, what does that speak to your children? When we grow up with that strength and moral integrity with a strong father, we also avoid the pitfalls, even though the temptations are all around us. And at some point, we will all fail. Hopefully, and I say that hopefully, you will fail. Because when you fail, you learn how to rise greatly. And that was one thing that my father put before me many times. Never quit. Never give in. Failure is part of a process of learning, not a process of quitting. And that is part of where we are today. I am blessed in my life to come from a long lineage of great fathers. My mother's dad, who I did not get along with as a granddad, by the way, was a strong moral character. Today, if he was alive, he and I would get along like close friends, because some of what came through my mother was his fire, his writing, and his absolute dedication to truth. From my dad's side, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, that line was always and has always been a line of hard work, of integrity, of truth, of leading the family, in spite of challenges, to never, ever give in, to always rise above, to adapt, and to always understand that line of truth and what was right. There was a Bible in every home, but it wasn't a thing they had to advertise. It was given. Where their belief was, it was given. How they walked, and their life showed their faith and their love of God through the way they treated other people and the works that they created by their hand. So on this day, I honor my father and his father and his father, the lineage of great fatherhood. And I can speak to you boldly as saying I'm a testimony of great fatherhood. And I'm proud to say that, not with arrogance, but with the pride that only God can give us. It's a humbling statement to know that I was blessed by that lineage. And I speak to every father when I say this, that the greatest gift that you can ever receive is to be recognized by your son when you get older, or daughter, of being a great father, to the point that not only do they understand the importance of taking care of you when you get older, but they look forward to it. Being a great father is one of the highest praises we can give to God. And when you, in this day and age, when we meet great fathers, they stand out if you've had a great father. And it all centers on the foundations of God's basic rules. Love Him above all things. Treat our neighbors and love our neighbors as we wish to be treated. Help those in need. Never let the innocent not have a voice. Give voice to the innocent and those in need, or who can speak who have no voice. Above all, live without fear, no fear, and trust in Him. When you truly walk that way, you walk as a child of God, you walk as a son of God, and you walk as a father of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, we pray for the blessing of all the fathers. May their walk be a walk with you in their heart, with Christ filling their lives. May they find the strength to walk in that quiet way, to let your light shine through, to guide them in all of their decisions, their moral character, and the core of who they are. May they have the strength to walk that path of truth and integrity. May they have the wisdom in their heart to lead their children forward, to show them a way of life that is pure and true to your laws. May they be blessed with the love and nurturing of their children in a way that only a father can do. May they walk in this world without fear. For as we're told in Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And may those words be blessed in every heart of every father to walk forward in life to as the guide and symbol for their children and for others to see, to be recognized as the role model of moral correctness and moral strength. We pray for the fathers, Lord, for the many that now need to rise, to be courageous through your love, to be courageous in the defense and protection of their families, to be courageous as the leaders in their family and communities as you would bless and wish. We pray for the fathers. We pray for their protection. We pray for their awakening. We pray for their love and strength through Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So I wish you all a very happy Father's Day. For those that have lost their fathers over time, our prayers are with you, but it's just a day to celebrate the greatness of what gifts you were given. It's kind of a closing point. My mom's dad was difficult as a grandfather when I was young. Matter of fact, I could not stand him, to be honest with you. But you can't, in the end, dislike somebody whose daughter, my mother, gave birth to me, because somewhere in there he had greatness. Now, it took me a lot of years because I really did not like him. But now I realize that there's a part of that great father, her dad, that is part of me. And it's unfortunate that in the time that he was alive, that he didn't understand how to deal with youth, but as part of the gift that was received was parts of what he was that now I look at and I say, wow, that is him in me. And it's one of those things that I smile and say, well, it took me a while to realize who he was. But part of that fire that's in me is also comes from him. And it's a good fire. He was a firebrand on many things. And at the end, it was what frustrated me were not the right things as a youth. But as an adult, what I admire was his moral integrity, his truths, his ability to speak truth even when no one wanted to hear. I say this because it's a reminder that when we walk that line truly with a line of integrity, with truth, with God, youth sometimes has a hard time seeing it. But time heals that. No, he and I didn't get a chance to sit down and have those conversations because he died well before that could have happened. But I can tell you today, and if you and I were sitting here looking at this nonsense going on today, we'd have some of the greatest political and conversations about the craziness of the world that you could ever imagine. We would laugh and joke and fire it up like nothing before. Again, he was a great father. Great fathers are not something that go away. They just mature with age. They mature in their memory. And they mature with their gifts. So honor your fathers. And may we all be blessed with great fathers. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. Prayers and thanks for the many great fathers that God's given us in this world. For you fathers out there, you are blessed to walk this path. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. Blessings on this day to all the great fathers. I'll see you this evening for Expedition Cafe. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Happy Father's Day. And out for now.
In the night we were wild, we were golden. Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. We built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running, your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from coming. Why look, it all comes rushing. Wolves cry and lightning strike. Of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom.
inside of.